Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gifts that have been given both this morning and those that have already come in through the banking system. And we thank you that we are able to meet here today freely to give back to you, Lord, a little bit of what we're able to. We pray that you'll help us as a church to use these gifts wisely to further your kingdom here. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. Now I want to ask you a question this morning, and it's a very simple one. How many of you have got a really good friend? Hands up if you've got a really good friend. Now, some of you may be here with a very good friend this morning, and I'm going to need a little bit of help. I need three pairs of friends to come up. So if you've come as a pair, put your hands in the air if you're willing to come up. So up you come, Harrison. Up you come. Tim and Kerry are on their way up. No. You have put your hands up. Yeah. I need a couple more. If I say there's chocolate involved, does that make more people want to come up? I need two more pairs. Two pairs. Definitely chocolate for Tim. There's got to be some more scouts. Do none of you like each other?
We've got two coming.
Oh! Emma and Eleanor are coming up with Chris. That's fantastic. Now, the question I'm going to ask each of you today is, I wonder what you would be willing to do for your friend, okay? What would you be willing to do for them? I'm going to ask you to do something very brave. I want you to close your eyes and hold your hands out in front of you. Now, I'm going to give one of you something in your hands. Okay? Just one of you. Okay? This could go disastrously wrong with the toddlers, but we'll see. Or it might work really well. We will very soon find out. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Okay, right. Close your hands up. Close your hands together. So, if you open your eyes. So, both of you know who has a little something in their hands and who doesn't. Now, I only had enough chocolates, would you believe it, for three of you. I'm really sorry. I wish I had more. But I want to ask you, are you willing to share what you have with your friends? You can decide now if you're willing to share with your friends. You can obviously choose not to, but you do, and you don't know how many. So are you going to share with your friends? And if you are, then by all means, share with them, and you can feel free to eat them. Okay? So how many have you shared? So they were given four sweets, four chocolates.
Two each.
Okay, so they've shared evenly, two each. What have we gone for here?
We've shared two each,
one of each colour.
Excellent, so they've shared as well. And have Emma and Eleanor shared? They have actually shared. That's absolutely fantastic. Now, I'm going to be honest, that wasn't too difficult, I don't think. So how many of us here would be happy to share our sweets or chocolates with our friends if the opportunity came up and we knew they didn't have anything? Hands up, who would share them? Hands down, hands up if you would. No, don't do that. Now, something that might be a little bit harder is if we were to share with our friend our money. Now, I'd like to do the same thing again. You can eat those chocolates if you want, that's fine. You can eat them. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing again. That's ever so kind.
Only one of them.
What, you just shared your portion? So I'd like to do the same thing again. If you can close your eyes, hold out your hands in front of you. Eleanor's holding her eyes very tightly shut. Okay, close your hands up. Both of you know who has a bit of money put in their hands, and obviously the other person knows they don't, but they don't know how much is in there. Now, those of you who have money, have a look what you've got. And I want to now ask you this same question again. This same question. Are you willing to share what you have with the other person? Okay? So make a decision. Make a decision. Kerry says she shared a chocolate. That's enough for her. So, What I've given each of these pairs is 3 50-pence pieces, okay? So obviously that's very hard to share. I'm going to ask Kerry and Tim first, how have you shared things?
He's given me one.
Tim's given you one, and he's kept 2 for himself. What have we got here? Harrison?
So Dominic gave me 2 and kept 1.
So Dominic gave him 2 and kept 1. That's wonderful. And have you shared those coins at all, Abimelech? Or do you want them all for yourself in your pocket money?
Pocket money.
I'm not casting any judgments at all this morning. So that was a bit harder. If you want to head back down to your seats, that's absolutely fine. Keep the money. I know, very generous, very generous. So that was a bit harder in that the split was more difficult to work out. But I want to ask you the same question again. Would you be willing to share your money if we knew that one of our friends didn't have any? I'm going to ask you again to be brave. Hands up if you would. Hands down. Hands up if that was a harder decision for you to make than just giving away a chocolate. Yeah, I can agree to that. I think it is. I'm going to try something even harder than that, though. Reuben, I wonder if I have my picture up on the screen. First of all, a little bit of anatomy. I wonder if anyone could tell me what this is a picture of. Anyone know? Kidneys, that's absolutely right. So it's a picture of 2 kidneys. Most of us have 2 of them in our bodies. And sometimes people's kidneys stop working and they need to be given a kidney from someone else's body. I want you to imagine for a moment that your friend is very sick and that both of their kidneys have stopped working. In order to be able to live, they need a new kidney. And would you believe it? But you are a perfect tissue match for them. Both you and your friend have the same blood group type. You're a perfect match. Now, in order for you to give one of your kidneys to your friend, you would have to go through the pain and risk of an operation. So I'm going to ask you the same question I have to the other questions. Who of you would be willing to give one of their kidneys to a friend? And I'm going to ask you again to do a very brave thing. Put your hand up if that's yes. Yeah. That is real love, in being willing to sacrifice one of your own body parts so that your friend might be given new life. And when we think about it, there's all sorts of ways that we can show love for our friends. But there is one thing that most of us could do that we have to hope we will never be asked to do. In our Bibles, in John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said this, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." Now, Jesus says that the biggest thing of all that you could give up for your friends isn't sweets, isn't money, isn't even one of your kidneys or a body part, but it is your very life. Earlier, Tim shared with us some verses from Romans chapter 5, and to continue on with the reading, it says this, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ gave up his life for each and every one of us here. There's very few of us, I hope, that will be called to give up our lives for our friends. But for millions and millions of people around the world, this was something that they willingly chose to do during the First and Second and subsequent World Wars. They fought for our freedom, and they were willing to die for it. But an even greater freedom has been fought for us by Jesus. He gave up his life for you and me when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Christ died for us. Jesus did that so that it's possible for us to enjoy a relationship with our Heavenly Father, so that we can know life in all of its fullness. That's real love, isn't it? That's the greatest love that you could show for a friend, to lay down your life for a friend. And as we heard earlier, 774,000 people from Britain alone gave up their lives during the First World War so that we as a country, as a nation, and as a people can have hope. As part of the Alpha course that we ran earlier this year, I heard the most incredible story that I want to share with you as I come into land this morning. I've got a picture of a gentleman that's going to come up on the screen, and this is his story. On the 31st of July, 1941, a prisoner escaped from Auschwitz, a Nazi concentration camp used during the Second World War. As a reprisal, the Gestapo selected 10 men arbitrarily to die in a starvation bunker underground. Now, one of the men who was selected to die was a man called Francis Jajinizek. And when Francis was selected, he cried out this, "Ah, my poor wife and my children, they will never see me again." And at that moment, a Polish man, very unimpressive looking in many ways, with his round glasses in wire frames, stepped out and he said this, "Look, I'm a Catholic priest. I don't have a wife and children." He said, "I want to die instead of that man." And to everyone's amazement, his offer was accepted. Maximilian Kolbe was the name of the Catholic priest. He was 47 years old at the time of his death. And when he went with others to the starvation bunker, he got them all praying and singing hymns whilst down there. He really was a remarkable man. He transformed the atmosphere, particularly in that bunker. And he was the last to die there over 2 weeks later. 41 years later, on the 10th of October, 1982, Maximilian Kolbe's death was put into its proper perspective. In St. Peter's Square in Rome, a crowd of over 150,000 people, including 26 cardinals, 300 bishops and archbishops, and Francis Jajinizek, gave him his right place amongst all the craziness of war. The Pope described the death of Kolbe in these terms. He said it was a victory like that won by our Lord Jesus Christ. The obituary of Francis Jajinizek said that he spent the rest of his life going round telling people what Maximilian Kolbe had done for him, because he had died in his place. And this story is just one of hundreds like it, of Christians having a profound impact on the war, of them sacrificing themselves for others, and of hope that shines through the cracks when the darkness of war seems all too thick to break out of. Hope's a funny thing. For many people here, it might not seem like there's much hope at the moment. For me and my family, we've been rocked the past two Novembers. And as I stood on this platform to you, delivering a similar talk on Remembrance Sunday 12 months ago, my granddad was lying on a hospital bed, having been there for 3 months. Little did we know he had just days to live after Remembrance Sunday. For the soldiers in the war, there will have been many days when they felt totally hopeless. But for both our family and the millions of soldiers who put their faith, trust, and hope in Jesus Christ, they and we can live no longer in fear. And instead, much like Maximilian Kolbe, we can acknowledge what Jesus did for us in winning our ultimate freedom through giving up his very own life for each and every one of us. Now, for those of us here this morning who follow Christ, may we use today as an opportunity to remember those who laid down their life for us. The sacrificial love shown to us by the soldiers who fought in the wars, but also that love shown to us by our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And for each and every one of us here today, may we think more carefully about our actions with other people. As we think of the sacrifice the soldiers made and the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, I want to come back to the initial question I asked you. I wonder what you would be willing to do for a friend. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the love that you've showed to us in giving up your life so that we can live freely. Let us use today as an opportunity to remember those who gave up their life for others so that we can all live in the bright hope of tomorrow. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to sing our final hymn this morning, Thine Be the Glory. And as we sing, I'd like to invite the scouts who brought the flags in to come up to the stage and collect them again. But we're going to stand now and sing the song, Thine Be the Glory. Please do stand if you're able to.
Say a final prayer and then we'll remain standing, and in silence the flags will be processed out today. Thank you so much for coming today. It's been lovely to have you all here. Thank you for being here. Do stay for a drink and a conversation, and you'll be very welcome to anything else that happens here at the church. Let us pray. Jesus, we want to thank you that you overcome death with life, that you overcome conflict with peace, that you overcome hatred with love, and you overcome despair and fear with hope. So fill us again with your love, your joy, and your peace, and send us out of here to be the people who bring peace and hope to this world. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.